We are going to turn now to the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 13. He, the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, or the Kehila, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. We got as far as verse 16, but I'm going to go back a little bit to see what the Father has done for us. We read in verse 12 that God the Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Secondly, in verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And then in verse 14, we come to the Son of His love. Messiah Yeshua is the Son of God's love. And He has made us also the sons of His love by giving His Son for us, so that now we are the sons of His love too, those who trust in the Lord Yeshua. And we read about Messiah that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is the message of the prophets and of Moses, that it is in Messiah alone that we have salvation. We read also in verse 15 about Messiah. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That word image, icon, that's the word for it in Greek, icon. It means the exact representation. He is in fact God made visible. God who took upon Himself the visible form by taking humanity and uniting humanity to Himself. So He is the image of the invisible God. That word is used of the reality, of the essence, of the very essence of God. The firstborn over all creation, that is, not the first to be created, but the firstborn, in the biblical sense, is the preeminent one over all creation. And then in verse 16, for by Him all things were created. So He is our Redeemer, He's also our Creator, and He is God manifest in the flesh. We don't take anything less than that. We cannot put up with anything less than that. Otherwise, we're untrue to Scripture. It is not a Messiah, Yeshua, is not a manifestation of God. He is God manifest. God made manifest to us. And we saw last time that He manifested Himself over and again in the Tanakh. In the pages of the Tanakh, we saw Him revealing Himself as the angel of the Lord, as the captain of the Lord's host, as a man of God. But every time the people who encounter Him say, we have met God, we have seen God. They worshipped Him. And angels never accept worship, but this one does. And so in verse 16 we read, in Him all things were created. The word by can be translated in. In him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Furthermore, we come to verse 17 and we find he is the first and he's the last. He is before and he will be after. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He's before creation. Therefore, he is the creator. We read about that in the passage we said together in Hebrew, Ha Elohim Asher, that passage from our liturgy, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us in the Son. God speaking in the Son, by whom he created the worlds. And that's what we read here too. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. This is a very clear passage which asserts the deity, the eternity of God the Son. There is an emphatic pronoun here. He is before all things. It brings to mind what God said to Moses, I am that I am. He is before all things. He is the great I am. And that's what he told his people. Before Abraham was, I am. And they understood perfectly what he meant, because they picked up stones to stone him, because they thought he was blaspheming. He said something very intriguing to Nicodemus. He says, no man has ascended into heaven, and no man has descended except the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Here he was on earth, but he says, I am in heaven too. As far as his deity was concerned, he was omnipresent. As far as his humanity was concerned, he was localized. Both are true concerning this greatest mystery of all scripture, the incarnation of God. And that is exactly where we part company, or our people part company with the script, with each other. That's where the Jewish people cannot follow, because after their return from Babylon, they laid it down as an inviolable rule that God would never condescend to take a body. But that's exactly what all the prophets have been telling us. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Moses puts it like this in Psalm 90 and verse 2. Psalm 90 and I'll read verse 1 and 2. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That's how they speak about God in general. That's what is said of Messiah in particular through Isaiah, the everlasting Father. That is to say, Father in the sense of the one who is the originator, the true origin, the true cause of all other things. He is before all things. He is the pre-existent one. Micah the prophet in chapter 5 mentions the coming, the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem. And this is how he describes him. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. We cannot stress that too strongly. This is the everlasting God. There's a hymn that puts it so well. Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven's beloved one. That's what it is. Worthy of Lamb of God art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. We take the shoes off our feet when we talk of Messiah Yeshua as God manifest in the flesh. John puts it like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's why this passage in Proverbs is often used by Bible scholars. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 and 23, we see wisdom speaking, but those words could have been put into the mouth of Messiah as well. Proverbs 8, verse 22 and 23, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Wisdom is speaking here. And there's no question that wisdom is as eternal as God himself. It's not something that God acquired at one point in eternity past. It's something, his attributes are as eternal as himself. So when we talk about God's attributes, they are eternal. And when wisdom says, I have been established from everlasting, I, wisdom, am as everlasting as God himself. And the reason why Bible scholars attribute these words to Messiah is because we are told in the scriptures, he is from God, he is made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. We read about Messiah that he is the wisdom of God and the power of God. So we see why they tie this passage in Proverbs, and they say there's a mystical sense here too, and it refers to the Messiah. In Colossians 1:17 we read, he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That is, he's the upholder, he's the sustainer of all things. In him has already appeared in verse 16. For by him, or in him, all things were created. In heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, etc. Now, in verse 17, and in him all things consist. The Lord Yeshua said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He is the one that's holding all things together. We read in the book of Hebrews that he was upholding all things by the word of his power. Here it is in Hebrews 1 verse 3. Who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, upholding even his tormentors, giving them the next breath with which they abused to blaspheme him. And yet he was the one that gave them the power to breathe. And they used that power to utter unspeakable blasphemies. He is the one that holds all things together. Why isn't this world in chaos? It's because he's holding things together. It could be much worse than it is. Thank God it isn't. We pray that it will improve. But the reason is, he is holding all things. In him all things cohere. He is the upholder of all things. In Psalm 75, God says, I bear up the pillars of the earth. That's what God says in Psalm 75. And in Isaiah chapter 46, God speaks there. Isaiah 46 and verse 4. I'm upholding you in your walk through life. Verse 4. Even to your old age, I am He. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. That is the language of the prophets concerning God, and in particular this second person in the Godhead, God the Son. In Him all things consist. The heathens knew something about it too. When Shaul was speaking at Mars Hill, he said, certain of your prophets have also said, in Him we live and move and have our being. There's that consciousness, even in the heathen poet, that there was a great God out there, and that we derived all our being and all our life from Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. And Shaul is saying here to us what he said to the Athenians there. He said, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him I declare to you. And he's declaring, it is none other than the Son of God's love, Yeshua the Messiah. Not only that, but in verse 18 we read, He is the head of the body, the Kehillah. He is the head. The pronoun is emphatic. It is He Himself. So much for those who pretend to be the head of the church. There are humans who have got this title of head of the church. There is no such thing in Scripture. It is man's fabrication. Neither the head of the Roman church, neither the head of the Anglican church is a biblical concept. There is only one who is the head of the church. That is our Lord Yeshua. He Himself is the head of the body, the church. The head. That is to say, He is the head of the, not only of the creation, but He is also the head of the second creation, the spiritual creation, as well as that of the material. He is the head. The prophets speak about that. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. That is a reference, direct reference to Messiah, one that the Lord Yeshua Himself quoted concerning Himself. The God says in Isaiah chapter 28 and in verse 16 that He's going to lay a foundation, and that foundation is Messiah. Again, we know because the Holy Spirit has validated that by applying it to the Lord Yeshua. In Isaiah 28 and verse 16, therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Messiah, our foundation. He is the head. Other foundations, says the word of God, can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Messiah Yeshua. He is our foundation. He is the head of the new creation. Chapter 2 and verse 19, we read about Him that He is the head from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So He's the head of the new creation. The Lord said, I will give them one head. I will give my people one head. In Ezekiel, in Hosea, He speaks about that. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, Messiah is speaking to the church, one of the churches there, Laodicea. Revelation 3 and verse 14, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." That is to say, the head of the creation of God, the originator of it. He is head over his people. He is our second Adam. When Adam was created, he was created head of the human race. When he fell, he was deposed and he became a private person. And from then on, what he did not affect the human race, only himself and his direct descendants. So that position remained vacant until our second Adam arrived, who took up the headship. And now he's head over all his redeemed people. He is our second Adam. He is the head of the body, the Kehila, that is to say, the body of believers. The picture is that of a head and of a body. Believers are the body of the Messiah, but he is the head. We are one with him. We being many are one body and one bread, says the word of God. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 17. We are one in him. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22 and 23. We read that God the Father has put all things under his feet, that is under Messiah's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the Kehila, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Or if we go to chapter 5 of Ephesians, we read in verse 23, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Messiah is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." And then in verse 30, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." That's the sense. He is our spiritual head, but he has also become one with us. He has taken on our human nature upon himself. He is the head of the Kehila. That is the universal company of God's people. Not all of us are here on earth. There's a multitude which man cannot number who are already in heaven. He is their head as well as ours. He is over them. We read in Hebrews that we have come to Yeshua, in Hebrews chapter 12. We've come to Yeshua, verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn ones who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Yeshua the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. We are one with our brothers and sisters who have preceded us, who are in heaven today. We are one with them, and one day we shall join them. We shall all be together. When we lose a friend, a loved one, the separation is exceedingly painful. But what comforts us is the thought that that great separation is going to be followed by a great reunion. And after that, no more separation. We shall be forever with them and with the Lord in heaven. He is the head. He is the beginning, we read also, the firstborn from the dead. Arche, the Greek word, means the active cause, the prince, the originator. He is the head. He is the beginning. "Thou art my son," God says to him. This day have I begotten thee, the firstborn from the dead. He also has preeminence in resurrection. Others rose from the dead before Messiah rose, but they were only restored to life for a little while longer. The first truly to rise from the dead was Messiah Yeshua. That's what Shaul said to King Agrippa at his interview. He said, I have continued to this day with the help of God, saying no other things than what Moses and the prophets said should come. And what was that? That Messiah should suffer, that he should rise, he should be the first that would rise from the dead, and that he would show light to the people and to the Gentiles. That's what he told King Agrippa. That is what Moses and the prophets taught us. Messiah had to suffer. He also was the first to rise again from the dead and to show light to the people and to the Gentiles. That's why we read here, he's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Isaiah 26 and verse 19 hears his voice. Remember what he said to his disciples in the upper room? Because I live, you shall live also. Here's the ground for that. Here's the text for us. Here's his voice. Isaiah 26, verse 19. Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. He precedes us to heaven. He precedes us in resurrection. And because he has risen, we are risen with him. Now it's attributed to us. One day it will be true of us. He's the firstborn from the dead. From the dead, the sense is from out of the dead. He has risen from the dead, never to die again. His title in the book of Revelation is, I am he who is and who was and who is to come. What he's saying there is not what I used to believe. I am he who am at the present one, the past one, and the future one. What he's saying is, I am he who is, who lives, who was dead, and I am coming. I'm he who was, who is, and who was, and is to come, in the sense of coming. I am the coming one. He's pointing us to that great day when he will come to receive his people to himself. He has left death behind. Our Savior, Messiah Yeshua, has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He is the first fruits. He is the firstborn. He frees us from death. And the reason is that in all things, in all created orders, in nature and in grace, in earth and in heaven, and in the experiences of his people, he might have the preeminence. Emphatic pronoun again, he himself might have the preeminence. Preeminence in suffering and preeminence in glory. We'll have to pick this up, God willing, next week, and go on to see how now what he has done for us, what he has done in himself and for us, leads to great eternal blessings for his people. And not only for his people. There are three areas where Messiah's work and sacrifice apply themselves to creation, to his material creation. He's going to redeem material creation, to his new creation, all his born again people, and Israel as well. Redemption of creation, redemption of our souls, redemption of Israel. Well, may the Lord bless his word. We'll come back to that next week, God willing.